It is Thursday, the 22nd of January, 2015, and this is episode 234 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I am Chris, and joined, as always, by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris.
Today, I have mostly been dropping my phone on the floor and making it not work anymore.
Not like your proper Android phone?
Yeah, my proper Android phone.
You've not smashed it?
Yeah, I cracked the screen.
No!
Yeah, and now I can turn the screen on, but it's not capacitive anymore, so I can't actually touch it and make it work, which is pretty upsetting, especially considering I see so many people with utterly smashed screens, and mine's just got like a tiny crack. Done. Anyway.
The only bit of advice I can think is just buy an iPhone.
Yeah, because I've seen screens on iPhones that are just like falling apart, basically, and don't work. Anyway, no, I've bought a very, very cheap replacement Android that's going to arrive tomorrow just so I got a phone. And then I will make a decision about what I'm going to go do future-wise. Do I go back down the Apple route? Who? No, maybe I'll go down the Microsoft route, because they've been telling us all about their new ecosystem and new direction with Windows 10. So, this is very much a Microsoft-focused podcast today because of their big announcement. And basically, they're giving away Microsoft Windows 10 for free.
Yeah, but free for a year. I don't know. It's like just do it free. Stop.
Maybe they can't justify doing that. Basically, for anyone who wants it free, it's going to be free, right? And that's free for upgrade from 7, 8, and 8.1.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much acknowledging that they don't want you on 7 anymore, even though it's their best operating system. 8 and 8.1 were utter failures. Therefore, come to 10. It's going to help everyone. And they even said that in their videos, pretty much, you know, come to 10 because it'll make everything better and make the whole operating system and environment better.
I think we might have touched on it before, but the good thing with this is it's actually unified. So, you know, tablet, desktop, laptop, and it actually intelligently knows where you are. So it'll give you your start menu. It won't mess around with all that horrible, you know, you must have some sort of touch device to use this properly, or else we need to add on these hacks. So I think they've addressed that. They've got a notification bar, just like Mac has, and but it all looked quite sensible and good.
The only concern I had about this whole unified experience is that the mobile ready side of it isn't ready, and it's not going to be until later. So we've yet to see that properly shown.
But I thought
a complicated deal.
Well, hold on, Windows 10 for mobile is February.
Okay, so actually it's sooner than, but yeah. Okay. Fair dues. Shut up, Chris.
I'm just like the concerned fairy, and just zap, it disappears.
It's gone. There you go. So, the kind of features we've talked about Windows 10 and its general features before, and how it's back to having start menu and back to better integrations, and the tiled interface isn't sort of strictly necessary, although it's still integrated. It's in a much better way. So it's actually a much more intuitive way of using it. So in general, they're kind of addressing a lot of the issues that we had. They're also showing Cortana. So Cortana's been on their handsets for a while, and that's basically their Siri or, you know, OK Google kind of alternative. And they're bringing that onto the PC, which is ahead of Apple. I mean, Apple haven't brought Siri to the desktop yet.
Yeah, and I've always been kind of surprised because they brought dictation, not last year but year before. So I would have thought Siri, but then Siri, I don't know, up until recently it never performed too well. But there's been a few people just saying it performs a lot better. And sure enough, when you do something, it is snappy as.
I think they had to because Google was stomping it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know about Cortana. I don't hear enough about it, but
no. I think it's just a lack of user base. You know, I don't really know anybody, and when we're starting to get some Windows phones at work, so maybe that will change. Yeah. But the whole, I mean, with Siri, you know, what's the temperature outside? And I got a reply which made me laugh because it replied and went, "Brrr, it's -2."
So they're even adding the funny bits that gets them in the news. That's the kind of thing that you get, you know, you get people tweeting about that, don't you? yeah, so effectively Windows 10 is going to be the end of Windows Mobile, as far as it's going to be called Windows 10 Mobile now. Good for that. And their OneDrive is all integrated, so phones, their pictures you take on your phone all pings up and back down onto your desktop, all the kind of, you know, cloud drive type ideas.
And they were kind of really selling this concept of universal apps. You know, so you write an app and it works on Windows 10, but that means it works on Windows 10 on a phone, tablet, desktop.
Which is an amazing thing if that can be realized. So they're saying, yep, certainly all the Office apps, they're going to be out the box straight away there for you. You will be able to take your Office apps and your documents wherever you go. Good.
Very good
stuff.
Very good. Yep.
Spartan, their new browser, they were kind of proud of that. So it looked kind of different. It certainly wasn't Internet Explorer anymore. A long way from Kansas. I imagine it will end up being branded Internet Explorer. But at the moment it's Project Spartan, and yeah, they seem obsessed with adding annotations to websites so you can reach out and touch your, put your smudgy fingers all over your screen and draw circles on it. So.
Yeah.
How many times do you need to do that?
I'm not convinced, although I do have a user at work who's desperate for a Surface Pro 3, and his reasoning was that he wants to annotate things. And I was like, that ain't enough.
Maybe it's really important for some people.
I can understand it for certain people, but it's a bit like when you see, you know, whenever any phone or smartwatch that launches it's like telling you about gate changes. It seems annotations are like the new thing, where it's like, you know, you're on a website and you quickly want to annotate. It's like, I've never quickly wanted to annotate anything like that.
They made sure that they did get some flight stuff into this demo. So
of course they did.
Cortana lets you know about gate changes and flights.
And just when we're saying Cortana and Spartan, let Halo go.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit... It's properly geeky. You know, use your properties, I guess. They've also got offline reading lists. It'll save pages so you don't have to be online to actually read when you want to.
It looked really good, but it was a bit confused that Spartan's going to come alongside IE.
It is a separate entity then?
It's a separate entity, and they seem to be saying that Windows 10will launch with IE, but you can install Spartan.
Okay, well, let's wait and see how they kind of sort that out. Xbox app. So you talked last week about your worry around sort of Xbox games on PC, but the actual announcement was in a bit like PlayStation, is it PlayStation Now, PlayStation Play? What's it called? And it's a streaming service, so you can actually use a PC as your screen for your Xbox sat in the lounge, for example.
Yeah, and you can fire up Xbox Live and see videos that other people have done. And
I think you can, is it voice chat? And you can certainly text chat. I mean, gentle integration is what I'd call it at this stage.
And they also talked about that they talked about Windows 10 coming to Xbox as well, and they didn't say too much about this. I think there's a developer conference in like 3 months' time, and then there's obviously E3, so I think some of these things will come out, you know, through the course of the year. But basically it was, you know, write an app, and if you write it for Windows 10, it will work on Xbox as well.
So that kind of unification, even stretching out to the Xbox.
And they made the point, you know, they're not trying to say like launch Excel on it, but you know, but if you think of apps like, I guess, like, you know, like, so Twitter and Facebook are already there. You think of like Vines and all these kind of things, you know.
It makes it easier for them to get into that. So why not? If they're going to build one for PC anyway, then it's automatically out there. Then that is a great solution to not having apps for your infrastructure, isn't it? Basically.
Just as long as we're not polluted with like.
I just imagine Xbox One bundled with Excel.
Xbox One now with OneNote.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can use your Kinect camera to annotate web pages.
Wow, you could just finger point at stuff.
Yeah. I know which finger I'd point to that.
Oh, my Kinect's so dusty. DirectX 12, that's quite exciting. So the next level of their DirectX components, and apparently it's sort of geared towards much lighter battery usage, but still ultra powerful. Cannot be sniffed at.
No. No, I know. And I think they were emphasizing was, you know, trying to get more out of the current graphic cards. So not just necessarily saying
not this endless hardware exploits when actually you're not making use of what you've got already, kind of thing.
Yeah, which is good. And obviously, I think it's a kind of pointer to Xbox One as well. You know, because they talked, I think in a separate show last year, they talked about when DirectX 12 comes out, it will impact Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, they had to find a way of squeezing more power out of a box that exists and is supposed to exist for a long time, yet is already not quite getting to the levels they want it to get to.
No,
really.
I mean, fair enough, they've taken Kinect out, so that's freed up a little bit, but there's not much else to go.
No, they have to make use of the hardware better. They also came up with some sort of unexpected announcements. So Microsoft Surface Hub, which in essence is just a blooming great TV that you can write on. So it's got a computer sort of behind it as well. I didn't particularly find this exciting in the grounds that, you know, that we have whiteboards and projectors that have done this for years and probably do it, you know, in a meeting room. It's not a problem having a projector sat on in the ceiling. Whatever.
No, and but I can certainly see scenarios where something like that, you know, I could see, you know, and certainly in my workplace, I was making use of something like that, but I didn't think it was worthy of, like, oh, we have a...
Not a massive announcement.
We've got a Surface Hub and it can do all these things and look at it, it's great.
They, if you know, they could have made it more consumer. I guess for an announcement like that, they're aiming at their business market, so, you know, but, you know, you can still make things look a bit more exciting. But their kind of big one, really, was their, it's called like HoloLens. Holographic and HoloLens.
So it was, yeah, Windows Holographic, yeah.
And basically this is a technology which is able to sort of view and visualize the environment you're around, which we've seen them using in lots of things, in lots of demos recently about how do they project screens onto and enhance your gaming experience, for example. But this is about adding objects into the environment. So it can analyze that you're sat in front of a desk, for example, and then it can project something onto that desk or perhaps add an object to the desk and make it, and it's clever enough to track your head so that it can make that object feel like or look, appear like it's there as a sort of, you know, a virtual object in your world. So these are glasses you wear over your eyes and they, you know, they're see-through basically, but they can also have screen element to them.
I was initially very skeptical because I was watching the stream and I was watching their kind of almost like the product video. And I was like, that's a load of bollocks. That does not look like that, you know, because it had the whole guy sitting in a room with Minecraft all around him. And it's like, but he's not seeing that, you know, and then they had the perfect visuals and it's all moving around. I'm like, but they're not seeing
that. Yes, everything
that
was incredibly vibrant in all their visuals. And you think, if something's half see-through, half being a screen, it can't be that vibrant.
No, but taking a step back, and again, I can see lots of scenarios where it would be useful. Again, probably more not so. So I think there's obviously a gaming aspect on there for certain games. I think that could be a really exciting prospect. And it kind of makes more sense why they've maybe bought Minecraft, because that whole block building and being, because the demo they showed live was in a kind of, you know, a kind of a dumbed down 3D studio, you know, and they were making objects and doing all that kind of stuff, and it looked it was a good enough demo, but I just thought, if you're in a kind of Minecraft world and you're actually looking around and you're in it and you're placing objects, and if you think your mouse, you're kind of grabbing things all the time, if you're just doing that with your hands.
Yeah, there's something very, very compelling, especially about, you know, the videos they put together. Which you think, if you can ever get to that kind of level, then that's amazing. It's things like they showed him expanding up a TV on his wall, you know, and so it's a virtual TV just showing a screen and part of his vision. It's very clever. It means you can you know, there's something about that concept which is very appealing. The movement from a concept to actual reality of it, I would be highly skeptical about. And okay, they're showing these demos, but
exactly. And the demos I was skeptical of, and I thought, this is just another typical Microsoft vaporware, you know, a bit like the Microsoft, you know, Slate, which was famously rolled out before the iPad came and we never saw it. And there's been a few things over, even Kinect. I still don't think it sold a lot, but I just don't think it ever lived up to the promise. It's kind of almost like half half-baked some of the implementations of it. But then, you know, then NASA put out their page that says, you know, I can finally reveal what the, you know, I've been working on for the last, you know, year, and I'm really excited and we're going to use it more this year. And you thought, there's definitely scenarios where this is going to be really exciting. We did a lot of visualization at our workplace. And we're using glasses and you know, this again, I can see where it could go.
And I mean, imagine even at a sort of not the fully realized version of it, but if you can visualize an extra, an addition to an object that's already there, so however that might be. So I was thinking, you know, people having, you know, redecorating their house. If this thing is clever enough to be able to show you that kind of redecoration ahead of doing it, or even give you a good idea about it.
Oh, imagine.
So you can actually live it and walk through it.
Absolutely.
And work out whether it's good or not.
And you imagine if you're going to, you know, you're going to buy a kitchen. You know, and you're trying to envisage your place. There's a whole lot of things you can now start to do. Another was the hardware.
You know, manufacturers could have a blank room that's got nothing in it. You put your dimensions of your rooms in it. You can walk into your new kitchen.
Yeah. No. And the other thing I thought was smart was it wasn't a big set of cables hanging off it. It was all self-contained. It was wireless. Fair enough, it was quite bulky and chunky. But
believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Well, people tried it. So a certain journalist tried it last night. Some of them were saying really blown away, really, really good. Others, you know, narrow field of view. You know, so if you think back to the videos where you were seeing this whole room, that gives you this impression.
Yes,
walking
it's
around,
a false impression of it.
But it was like a 120 by 120 degree, so it's quite you know, not quite full. But then that's probably enough. If you think about what your current field of vision is, that's probably enough that it works.
It's certainly enough to put an object in a room, like they were showing,
hands,
you know,
accurately. Yeah. Almost, I think the quote I saw was almost to the full arm's length of the user that was trying it, which is actually quite a usable space.
Yeah. No, I quite liked it. It was certainly, again, it was kind of Microsoft back at doing what they do very well, which is visualizing a world. Now, what they haven't been so good about is trying, you know, they've almost visualized things about 10 years too early, and maybe it's the same with this. Maybe we're too far ahead to actually make this work. But 10 years from yesterday, as I keep saying, is a bit like 2 years from today. So
and this is where I was initially skeptical, and I was like, hold on, I love technology. This is a company that's actually done all this. Nobody's been talking about it. It was a surprise. I really want to try it. In fact, we've already contacted you. We've got a technology day with them in a month's time. Can you bring one, please?
Yeah, well, that'd be good, wouldn't
it? I know they won't. But it's like, it gets your juices going. You know,
exactly. The fact that we're talking enthusiastically about this and how, you know, it shows that there's, you know, there's something quite exciting about it. Even given everything else that we get nowadays, and, you know, even what should be exciting is now pretty mundane. You know, these new handsets that are ultra thin, TVs that are ultra thin, and all I'm thinking is, don't make them so thin. When actually the technological marvel of something being so thin is incredible.
And again, no prices, no dates. They said it would be launched within the Windows 10 life cycle, which could mean lots of things.
Considering 95 is only just, no, not 95.
But XP.
XP has only just gone out. Of cycle. Anyway, yes. Sky decided they're going to block. Also, they're moving on from Microsoft. Done with Microsoft. Sky are going to block. If you don't make an active decision about whether you want to see naughty things, or not just naughty things, anything around subjects that they don't deem suitable for people under 13, you will automatically have those blocked. So if you don't choose to unblock them, they will automatically block. Yeah. That's topics including bullying, pornography, suicide, self-harm, file sharing, drugs, and dating. So if your under 13 year old wants to find out what are good drugs or bad drugs, they can't.
Just go and play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, quite. Xbox and the Sony hackers have been hit by a hack themselves. So this was the Lizard Squad. They had made their software, or their, I guess, their empire of computers, drones. Is it drones? What am I trying to think of? That word. Anyway, zombie computers. They were made them available if someone wanted to pay to go and hack someone else's account. Turns out that they didn't really protect that database, and lots of security experts have now gone and hacked and got that database. Turns out lots of people want to stop people from playing Minecraft. What was the takeaway from this? Yeah. It's a kind of age group, I think, of who's doing this.
But it's also a bizarre thing to target. You know, it's like, I'm going to stop you playing Minecraft.
You ain't playing Minecraft.
Yeah, exactly. So what was that? A 30-year-old you were impersonating there?
I don't know.
But their site was a stressor site, and 14,500 people had signed up.
So, 14,500 people signed up, but only a small proportion of those actually ended up paying anything. But suffice to say that the powers that be now know who you are. So if you did pay to go and hack and attack a service, be wary.
To be honest, hell mend you if you've put your credit card details into something like that.
Why would you?
I've got absolutely zero sympathy.
Yes. Starbucks are having wireless charging points in their coffee shops. Magnetic charging, so it does require you whopping a dongle into the back end of your phone, and then you leave it on the table ready for someone to sort of snatch. But they're nevertheless going to do this in, certainly starting in London, 10 stores in London, and then they're going to maybe roll this out.
Yeah.
Why not just have plugs? To plug into.
And the weird thing is, wireless charging has been talked about for so long. I mean, what, 4 years?
I
mean, I
don't find it that exciting.
But the Palm Pilot came out, remember? Not the Palm Pre, was it? And they had that wireless charging bit. And
pebble thing on it, yeah.
Yeah, and I can understand, I don't know if everybody just got used to it. Is everybody just assumed now, I've got a day out my phone and I just need to charge it, and it's just not a big thing? Because
I don't think it's a big thing.
Seemed to be the thing. It was like, oh, that would be fantastic.
There's no benefit really of a wireless charger to a dock, and because the wireless charger has to be plugged into something, so it's just like a dock that you don't just have to spend an extra millisecond plugging it in.
I don't know. Cables do annoy me. You know that I do. There's a bit of OCD there. That see if I could have a cable-free environment, I would love it.
Yeah, but you've put in this situation. You've got a bloody dongle to whop into the back of the phone. So it's the cable, but you've got the dongle.
That's like an implementation issue. That over time would disappear.
No, there are definitely phones that you can just whack on a mat, and that's fine. But there's still a cable that has to go from that charging mat, so it's not much different really. You can just route it. Yeah. Does that routing make you happy?
Yeah. It's just cables. Cables are just, see if I could just be wire free, it'd be lovely.
Yes, I have to say, cables are still annoying, and you're right. Better the world without them.
Yeah, and I don't know, is it going to take one of these big chains? You know, is it going to take a McDonald's, a Starbucks, or something to make it? You know, it's a bit like Apple Pay. It's taking Apple Pay to make NFC viable. It's been there for years, but nobody's really using it, but all of a sudden, you know, I was listening to an American podcast, and they're saying it's amazing. All these banks are paying now for adverts to say, yes, we support Apple Pay, because it's turned into a big thing.
I was amazed how much I can now use my credit card, you know, the touch pay thing.
Right.
And how easy it is. So lots of supermarkets now do it, so it's great. And I do use it now, which I didn't think I would.
You're a man of the future.
Something like that. Facebook going to weed out fake news stories and stop promoting them on your news feed effectively, or at least reduce their prominence. But it's going to leave things like Onion apparently alone, just because users don't mind people stories like onions and stuff like that. But they are fiddling more and more with your feed. I have to say, more and more, it does get frustrating when I have a whole bunch of friends who just share out a story which is quite inflammatory and utterly, utterly baseless, foundless, and frankly false. And
that annoys me, but not as much as the people that are liking a Dot Apple page, because Dot Apple have got 500 iMacs that they've just found in a warehouse and need to give away. Like this page, and you could win one of them. And it's like, it's not Apple, it's Dot Apple, or it's underscore Apple, or it's Apple's. And it's the same when you see things like, it's like Sony's, and it's like, stop.
It's amazing.
It's like, when do you not realize this is fake? But it looks like hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people just.
What's the betting though? It's actually Facebook getting annoyed by that one that's going around saying, don't give Facebook any rights.
Exactly.
They're probably, because they know full well that that's just a false and fake story that just gets circulated.
That went everywhere.
Yeah. And then it pauses. And then it comes back, and then it goes round again, and you can just see it whizzing around the world.
I unfortunately have, yeah, there's a couple of folk that I know that actually don't, they actually know how the old chain mails that used to go around, like, yeah, you know, you get this mail and if you don't pass it on, you'll die. And people,
well, nowadays it's bunnies will die or you're an evil person. Yeah. Like this page if you don't like people dying.
Yeah, or if you don't like this page and pass it on to five of your friends, then, you know, you'll have 7 years bad luck. And
and
people will be like, I know it's rubbish, but I must do this. And you're like, no.
Annoying. I know.
Maybe I should just unfriend them.
Absolutely. Twitter launching its password application effectively. So it's designed to get rid of the password. So you use your phone and a Twitter app to authorize yourself and identify yourself with services. And the idea is that services then integrate with the Twitter service. Have they got a name for this?
Digits.
Digits. So you integrate with Digits, and then you no longer, as a user, have to remember your password. And that person, that, you know, the software provider can authenticate who you are.
Which is interesting, because people know their phone number, but invariably can't remember a password.
Mm. Yeah. It's again, you know, I think we've seen this more and more on Twitter. They're offering lots of different services. So things that you wouldn't normally expect. So things like their Bootstrap service, their sort of web type web development stuff. Now they're doing this sort of login provider. They're trying to be an identity provider with Twitter. Anything other than their main business model, really, which I think they've pretty much figured out they're not going to earn any money from it.
I think what they're worried about is if they don't grow and maintain their user base, that seems to be the issue, because they're not growing. There was a post.
There's only so many people that want Twitter.
No, I know, but there was a post that an 18-year-old did. They did two posts in Medium, which was just reviewing all the current social media sites and what an 18-year-old thinks of them, and what not just him or her, but also the group of friends.
Yeah.
And it was telling, where it was like Facebook, oh, that's where all the old fogies go. You know, it was just like, but everybody's on there because they feel they have to be, but it is like dead. Just do not go there. And it was things like Instagram was the place to be, and Twitter was just like, well, we don't get it. You know, like the fogies are using it for news, but yeah, don't get it. Don't see the value. Yeah. And there was a few other ones like that. It was quite telling. It's just how, almost how ferocious that they just moved to different, like, what was the one that I tried that they said that they're all on? And I was like, really? I've never heard of it. I sound like a stalker. Yik Yak.
Yik Yak.
Yeah. So it's like an anonymous messaging service that is done by location. So you see all like Glasgow Yik Yaks, and it's all uni folk. It's loads of uni folk just talking about Strathclyde or Glasgow Uni.
Yeah,
so I found out about some feminists at Strathclyde Uni blocking the toilets, for example.
Very exciting for you.
I was super excited.
There's part of me which does think there's this endless drive for growth in all these things. But the problem is things like Facebook and Twitter grew and grow so quickly. There's only so many people in the blue world, you know. Then they're kind of like, well, we're prevented now by technology rather than, you know, physical, you know, actually people wanting to get on the services. People haven't got access to it. Anyway,
yes.
I don't see what that complete drive is. You've got X billion users anyway, whatever it is. Make better use of them. Anyway. They've added a feature to their main app, and that's tweets that you missed while you were away. So basically, if you're away for a period of time, and that varies apparently per user, depending on your usage and things like that, it will show you a collection of tweets that it thinks were important during your time away from Twitter and show you them at the top of your newsfeed.
Which I've just tried when I came home tonight, and it showed me nothing. But because I'm
like, it knows today, how discerning you are.
Well, today was just like I looked at Twitter like never. So I was basically in, I don't know, eight different meetings between 8:30 with no breaks, and no breaks for lunch. So there was just no time. And I came home and I think it was 900 tweets, and I was right, so ignore that. Scroll at the top. But I do use lists. I've got lists of friends and essentials that I can just dip into. And it's like, I want to see these updates. I don't care about all the rest. If I've got time, I'll dip into it because I've got ones for Apple and tech news and all that kind of stuff. And that's how I do it. And I kind of think I still will do that. I don't want Twitter, you know, deciding that because I follow Lewis Hamilton, that his tweet's more important because I really don't give a stuff what he's telling me on Twitter.
I do exactly the same. I think a lot of people manage it that way. But mine is slightly different in that I will not go and look at Twitter probably a week at a time.
Wow.
Come back to it. Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see if I've got time, I will. So, like, I see in between every game of Halo, I'll have a quick look and see what those 10 tweets were.
Yeah, it's funny how things move. Like you just said, things move in and out of usage. And it's fine for me. Twitter at the moment is just not something on my daily rounds. I remember, you know, I used to use like a reader every single day. When Google Reader was around, I used to use that all the time. But now I don't do anything like that anymore. So
yeah, and it's funny because we had some really bad snow on Friday night and Saturday. So the street here was blocked and there was car crashes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm got my kind of local searches, you know, for the names and also geolocate. And it was just interesting getting all that, well, this has happened and this has happened. Look at that picture. And you just couldn't get that anywhere else.
No. No. You're right.
No, it's just different ways.
It's
and
not
I think,
snowed here.
Yeah, but that's because it was cold last week at 5 degrees.
Yeah, well, I went, get back in dive. SpaceX has raised $1 billion new funding. And Google and Fidelity have come on board with that. They've got about 10% ownership. Google sort of still aiming to try and get basically satellites into orbit to help with access in remote locations.
Yeah, and this is I'm just reading there. I couldn't remember their old one's name. Project Loon. So this was the kind of balloons that they were talked about. But this is obviously the next
step up. Yeah,
yeah, and it would also.
I think there's quite a big difference in cost between putting a satellite in the air than putting a balloon up, and that was why the balloons was such a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. But because Musk is looking at this with SpaceX, but I think also Richard Branson was looking at putting up thousands of satellites as well. This seems to be a kind of these mega millionaires that are, you know, obviously can see the opportunity and they're willing to invest in it. There's obviously something there.
I will have a satellite. But yeah, but where did that come from?
You didn't get to see that picture.
Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen the diagram of what's, you know, NASA what they have to track in orbit?
Oh yeah,
and all their all their random orbits as well.
The dust and the particles.
They track some small bits, but these were all sizes that could do a serious amount of damage, and especially the speed they go, and especially the ones that are going in opposite orbit. So it is like that. Even a relatively small thing like that could cause massive damage. When are we going to see like some sort of cascade of satellites just whacking into each other because one goes a bit awry, a Google one goes a bit left at the traffic lights and bumps into another one and then sends everything into chaos.
And we saw it with obviously the film Gravity showed you that kind of chain effect and things. Oh, okay.
You spoil it now. Not worth it.
Well, no, Clooney dies. Anyway, the really hard spoiler, don't know.
Sorry, listeners.
You haven't seen it by now. Get a grip.
I don't moan. I don't. I'm just joking. Joking.
And also, I can edit. I don't know. Boggles my little mind because it just seems one of these kind of unfathomable things to try and track.
Yeah, but they have to. And they do,
but
when someone wants to put thousands more up there, it's like, how are they ever going to cope? There we go. But it's free for everyone, right? That is the end of our news this week.
Fantastic.
Got no picks unless you're going to sneak one in there?
No, I think I've got a new Mac app, but I actually want to use it in anger first before I go, yes, this is my new pick.
So next week we might have that as a pick. So good stuff. If you want to find out more about us, what we do, what we talk about, digitaloutbox.com is our website, info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us. And we're also on Twitter as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter, even though I only look at it maybe once a week, Cheesy UK, and all my racing antics, academyracer.co.uk. Where can we find you, Ian?
I am on Twitter as Reaper, and my blog is IanD.net.
And the reason you struggle to remember is because you haven't even got it written down in our show notes anymore.
I did actually look down and I'm thinking,
it's like, oh,
where am I?
I'm not there. There you go. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will talk to you again next week. And goodbye.
Ta-da.
Stick a fork in me, I'm done.